Hello. My name is Leslie. Welcome to my podcast featuring excerpts from Dr. Ed's morning briefing, which is produced by our team at Yard Danny Research. Today's commentary is dated Thursday, February 13, 2020. The first topic focuses on the remarkable melt-up in stock prices. The financial markets appear to have put the coronavirus in the rearview mirror. While the number of deaths continues to climb in China, the number of new cases has been declining, implying that officials have gained control of the situation. The S&P 500, which briefly gave up January's impressive gains at the end of that month, has rebounded since and hit its fifth record high during February, leaving it up 4.6% year-to-date through yesterday's close. The 10-year Treasury yield has also been climbing back from recent lows, topping 1.63% on Wednesday. Most S&P 500 sectors have also bounced back nicely from the coronavirus scare. Here's the performance derby for the S&P 500 sectors year-to-date through Wednesday. Information technology, 10.8%, utilities, 6.7%, real estate, 6.3%, consumer discretionary, 6.1%, communications services, 5.2%, S&P 500, 4.6%, industrials, 4.5%, healthcare, 2.2%, consumer staples, 2.0%, financials, 0.9%, materials, -1.2%, and energy, -9.1%. Let's take a look at some of the winners and losers. Point number one, tourism business down, but stocks bouncing. The stock price indexes of industries involved with tourism rallied nicely on Tuesday and Wednesday, though most remain in negative territory year to date. Travel to and from China has screeched to a halt due to the virus. Cruise operators have canceled Chinese cruises, and the U.S. has prohibited those in China from visiting the U.S. The travel industry could lose $5.8 billion in airfare and domestic spending this year, according to estimates in a 2/12 WSJ article. Chinese spending on travel and tourism in the U.S. was $34.6 billion in 2018. The S&P 500 Hotels, Resorts and Cruise Lines Stock Price Index is down 4.5% year-to-date, and the Casinos and Gaming Stock Price Index has risen 1.3% through Wednesday. Meanwhile, the S&P 500 airlines industry has also returned to positive year-to-date territory, 1.9%, through Wednesday. In recent days, investors appear to have started looking past the virus-related problems. Point number two, energy and materials not reassuring. The S&P 500's rally would be more convincing if the stock price indexes of certain economy-sensitive industries in the energy and material sectors would return to positive territory. The price of gold, up 3.4% year-to-date through Tuesday, and the price of oil, down 18.2%, also through Tuesday, bear watching. On Wednesday, the price of oil rallied, and the price of gold fell. Here's how a smattering of the industries in the S&P 500 energy and material sectors are performing year-to-date through Wednesday. Steel, -14.1%, oil and gas exploration and production, -10.4%, integrated oil and gas, -9.1%, diversified chemicals, -4.5%, copper, -3.4%, specialty chemicals, -2.9%, oil and gas drilling, -0.5%, and construction materials, -2.9%. They mostly rallied yesterday. Point number three, mega caps love fest continues. The best performing stocks in this market have been tech shares and growth stocks, as investors continue to clamor for the mega caps, namely Facebook, Amazon, Apple, Netflix, Google, and Microsoft, as we discussed yesterday. Large cap growth stocks are up 7.8% year to date, versus a 1.0% gain for large cap value through Wednesday. Meanwhile, the S&P 500 Internet and Direct Marketing Retail and System Software Stock Price Indexes are the top performers since news of the coronavirus hit on January 24, with returns of 12.5% and 10.0%, respectively, through Wednesday. Small cap stocks aren't feeling the love in either the growth or value investment style categories. Small cap growth stocks are up only 2.7%, while small cap value has fallen 3.1% through Wednesday. The second topic focuses on autonomous cars. Can you imagine a day when autonomous cars become so common that teenagers no longer have to learn how to drive? Future parents will miss all the white-knuckle fun of phantom braking from the passenger seat. The autonomous era is slowly creeping closer. Last week, Nuro received the first approval from federal regulators to operate driverless delivery vehicles. Not far behind are many other traditional players testing autonomous vehicles, AVs, carrying deliveries and humans. Here's Jackie's roundup of some of the latest news. Point number 1. Nuro takes the lead. When driving regulations were written, it was presumed that a human would be behind the wheel. So many of the laws on the books are silent about whether autonomous cars are legal or not. Some states have written laws or governors have signed executive orders that have encouraged the testing and use of AVs. But others haven't done so, leaving a patchwork of legislation across the country. That changed for one company last week. Nuro became the first company to receive an exemption from the U.S. Department of Transportation and the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration. The decision allows the company to operate R2, vehicles that don't have a driving wheel or other items a traditional car has, according to a February 65 blog post in Medium, written by Nuro co-founder Dave Ferguson. The Nuro R2 is a cross between a car and a robot. It has a maximum speed of 25 miles per hour and drives on roads. However, it doesn't have a steering wheel, pedals, or rearview mirrors. The battery-powered vehicle is meant to deliver things, not people. It's roughly the same height as a car, but about half the width and about half the weight. Regulatory approval for larger, heavier vehicles is expected to be tougher. Nuro will begin public road testing the R2 in Houston in the coming weeks, delivering items for partners including Walmart, Domino's, and Kroger. The R2's cab space is temperature-controlled, so it can keep milk cold and pizza warm. Customers can follow the R2's delivery progress on an app. They receive a code that opens the delivery compartment of the R2 to retrieve their delivery. Nuro, which has raised more than $1 billion from investors including SoftBank, had been testing an earlier version of its AV, the R1, in Scottsdale, Arizona. Point number 2. Eggs not all in one basket. Nuro's partners have pilot programs going on with other companies too. According to October 10, 2019 TechCrunch article, Walmart earlier this year tapped the startup Udall to test autonomous grocery deliveries in Arizona. This summer, it kicked off a test with Gatik, an AV startup to test grocery delivery from Walmart's main warehouse in Bentonville, Arkansas. Walmart also launched a pilot with self-driving company Waymo in 2018 to test rides to Walmart for grocery pickup, as well as a test with Ford and Postmates for autonomous grocery delivery. Likewise, Domino's have worked with Ford's autonomous cars in Michigan. Point number 3. Waymo AVs in Phoenix. Waymo, a division of Google, started offering some truly autonomous taxis in Phoenix in October. These vehicles don't have safety drivers, but do have safety features that limit their operation to certain suburbs at certain times of the day, and never during dust storms. For the previous 2 years, Waymo had been testing its AVs with safety drivers behind the wheel, which some of its test cars still will have. For instance, safety drivers will be in the Waymo AVs that deliver packages from some Arizona UPS stores to a UPS hub as part of a partnership the two companies announced last month. Point number 4. Ford and GM in the slow lane. Ford and GM are trying to keep up with the auto industry's upstarts. Ford is mapping the streets of Austin and hopes to launch an autonomous taxi and delivery service in 2021, according to a September 25, 2019 article in The Verge. However, its vehicles aren't currently fully autonomous. Two safety human drivers are in each vehicle. Ford has also tested its autonomous cars in Miami, Detroit, Washington, D.C., and Pittsburgh. It has been using a Ford Fusion decked out with all the necessary equipment. The company uses software developed by Argo AI, a startup into which Ford has invested $1 billion, and it has announced a major partnership with Volkswagen, which will invest an additional $2.6 billion into Argo. GM has been testing self-driving autonomous Chevy Bolts in San Francisco, Arizona, and Michigan, and had hoped to launch a robot taxi service in San Francisco by the end of last year. But that deadline wasn't met, and a new deadline wasn't announced. GM's Cruise division does have a new AV, dubbed Origin, that it expects will be used in a ride-sharing fleet. Quote, inside are two bench seats facing each other, a pair of screens on either end and nothing else. The absence of all the stuff you expect to see when climbing into a vehicle is jarring. No steering wheel, no pedals, no gear shift, no cockpit to speak of, no obvious way for a human to take control, should anything go wrong, unquote, a January 21 article in The Verge reported. GM owns two-thirds of Cruise. The remainder of the equity is owned by Honda, which is investing $2.75 billion in the company over 12 years, SoftBank, and T. Rowe Price. The excellent Verge article contained an eye-popping figure. These cars can cost from $300,000 to $400,000 each, because of the software and sensors they require. Point number 5. Musk's big promises. Tesla's cars already come with autopilot, meant for highway driving, but drivers are told to remain in control of their vehicles. The company's cars also offer Smart Summon, which permits drivers to turn on their cars remotely and drive from a parking spot to the driver. But Elon Musk is promising bigger things. He says the company's cars will soon offer full self-driving, which makes it possible for a car to drive itself from one's home in the suburbs onto the highway and into the city. He also has a goal of deploying 1 million robo-taxis this year, and within 2 years he predicts the company will make cars with no steering wheels or pedals, a December 19, 2019 CNBC article reported. That said, the National Transportation Safety Board is investigating an accident in 2018 and one in 2019 where Tesla drivers crashed while their autopilot was on, a February 11 U.S. News & World Report article reported. Headlines like that don't help Tesla or any of the players in the AV industry. The third topic focuses on inflation in China. On Monday, we learned that China's CPI inflation rate jumped to 5.4% year-over-year during January, up from 4.5% in December. January's reading was the highest since October 2011. It was led by soaring food prices. Excluding food, it was only 1.6%. Food prices jumped 20.6% year-over-year during January, the most since April 2008, led by a 76.7% increase in the meats component of the CPI. Since early last year, pork prices have soared as a result of the swine flu, which decimated China's pig herds. Pork prices jumped 116% year-over-year during January. The coronavirus, which led the government to impose drastic measures to contain the outbreak, occurred in late January. It is bound to worsen food inflation in China, since some food supplies may spoil before shipping to large cities, due to the disruption of transportation and other lockdown measures, especially for fruits, vegetables, and livestock. Inflation-adjusted retail sales growth in China is likely to drop to zero on a year-over-year basis, as many consumers are confined to their homes and have to spend more on food. That's all for now. Thanks for listening today. Please see the hedge clause on our website www.yourdanny.com. Please let Dr. Ed know if I am doing a better job than Siri and Alexa. Have a great day.